This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah. Bi-Iznillahi Ta'ala, we now move on to the next hadith in the series, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to record our learning, our studying, our understanding in our skills of good deeds, and more especially, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us knowledge which is beneficial. That knowledge that we will practice upon. That knowledge that from hadith number 40 we learnt, be in this dunya like a stranger or a traveler, then that's how we should be in this dunya. We learnt about the one who seeks knowledge and the bounties for the one who seeks knowledge. We learnt about the matter of husnul akhlaq, having good character. We learnt about all of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq to implement. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We now move on to hadith number 41, insha'Allah. Hadith number 41, An Abi Muhammad Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bih. حديث حسن صحيح رويناه في كتاب الحجة بإسناد صحيح. Upon the authority of Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who said that I heard the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, none of you truly believes until his desires is subservient to what I have come with. None of you truly believes until his desires are subservient to what the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with. And this hadith here, Imam An-Nawawi states, it is Hasanun Sahih, and it has been narrated in Kitab Al-Hujjah, the Isnadin Sahih, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we discussed this hadith number one, the takhrij of this hadith. This hadith has been reported by Ibn Abi Asim in his As-Sunnah, reported by Ibn al-Jawzi in Dham al-Hawa, by Imam al-Baghawi in Masabih As-Sunnah, and Khatib al-Baghdadi in his Tariq Baghdad. This hadith, there's a lot of debate with regards to its authenticity due to the issues surrounding Nu'aym ibn Hammad, who's one of the narrators. Nu'aym ibn Hammad, there's issues with tafarrud from him. There's issues in the chain of narration of inqita'. There's a broken section in the chain of narration. That's why we found that Ibn Asakir, Ibn Rajab al-Albani, Arna'ut and others, they regard this hadith as a weak hadith. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he ascribed this hadith to Al-Hujja fi Tariq Al-Mahajja. Imam An-Nawawi, in reality, did not follow the proper procedure. Usually, he would ascribe the hadith to the earliest or the most eminent of scholars. But here, he didn't follow that procedure, and he ascribed it to Kitab Al-Hujjah. The norm is, you ascribe it to the earliest of the scholars, or you ascribe the hadith to the most famous or the most important of sources, not one of the secondary sources, but rather one of the primary sources. But Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah here, he departed from that norm. He ascribed it to Al-Hujjah ala Tariq Al-Mahajjah by Abu al-Fath Nasr ibn Ibrahim al-Maqdisi al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. The narrator, number two, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, the famous son of the famous companion Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. This son, in reality, became Muslim before his father. Before Amr ibn al-As, the son became Muslim, walhamdulillah. And we have some narrations that his name was Al-As. The son's name was also Al-As. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his name from Al-As to Abdullah. Al-As means the disobedient one. And Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was one of those few who knew how to read and write. He was somebody who would fast a lot and pray a lot, until the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you know what, this is too much, this is too much. But he felt, no, I can do more, I can do more, I can do more. He regretted later on in his life. He says that I should have taken the concession from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in old age is very, very difficult for me to continue upon that way. He narrates over 700 ahadith, and he is from the four Abdullahs, the Abadila al-Arba'a. Who are they? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn al-Zubair, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is not from the four Abdullahs. Why are they called the four Abdullahs? Because they were rather young when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, and they narrate a lot of ahadith and many people benefited from them. Walhamdulillah. Number three, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, the general comments related and surrounding this hadith. This hadith, although weak, the meaning is sound. The meaning of this hadith is very sound. In fact, the Quran testifies with regards to the meaning of this hadith. Numerous verses in the noble Quran. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. But no, by your Lord, they have no faith, no iman, until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, judge in all disputes between them. And they find in themselves no resistance against your decisions, and they submit to them with a full submission. So their desires are in accordance with the desires of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, they are on the incorrect path. We find similarly, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. O you who believe, do not put yourselves before Allah and His Messenger, but fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine if just lifting your voice, raising your voice above his voice, that's an issue. Imagine you putting your opinion and your thought and your idea over and above the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have an option in any decision, in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he is indeed strayed into plain error. And these verses, subhanAllah, Surah An-Nisa 65, Surah Hujurat 1-2, Surah Al-Ahzab verse number 36, they are clear with regards to the meaning behind this hadith number 41. As we said, although hadith number 41 is weak, the meaning is correct. One's desires, in reality, can be of the greatest harms to one's deen. Ibn Rajab, he points out that every single sin out there, it is a result of putting one's desires before the will or the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, those words of Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, resonate in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Qasas, verse number 50. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. But if they do not respond to you, then know that they only follow their desires. If they don't respond to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they are only following their desires. And who is more astray than the one who follows his desires without guidance from Allah? Indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing folk. Allahu musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah and guidance, and to make us firm upon that guidance and that sirat mustaqim. We find, subhanallah, sometimes an individual, his desires go against what's in the Quran or the Sunnah, then what happens? Then he begins to twist the verses and the ahadith to suit his desires, to suit his agenda. He would selectively quote. He quotes for his own end, Allah musta'an. When the ahadith and the verses of the Quran are against him, he changes them. He Allah musta'an, bends them. We find that, then it's no longer an issue of the text, but then it's the context. Well, you see this verse, the context is such and such, and you see this hadith, the context was such and such. Whenever it's against him, then he comes with all of this, Allah musta'an. But when it is for him, then it's a different story. Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. Let the Qur'an not be a proof against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make the Qur'an a proof against us, but rather a proof for us. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he gives certain examples of those who claim to love the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love Allah and love the deen, but they claim this love with their tongues, but their actions contradict what they say with their tongues. Allah musta'an. As he mentions, تَعْصِي الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تَزْعُمُ حُبَّهُ هَذَا لَعُمْرِي فِي الْقِيَاسِ شَنِيعُ لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. Subhanallah. Super beautiful verses of poetry. Ibn al-Qayyim, or rather Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he mentions, تَعْصِي الْإِلَهَ تَعَصِلْ إِلَهَا وَأَنْتَ تَزْعُمُ حُبَّهُ. You sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَذَا لَعُمْرِي فِي الْقِيَاسِ شَنِيعُ. That in reality is a very strange type of analogy you are making. You love him, you claim you love, but you sin against him. لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَعَطَعْتَهُ. If your love for him was true, then you would obey him. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. The one who loves, he obeys the one who he loves. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, this hadith mentions that none of you truly believes. None of you has this kamal of iman, this complete iman, until his desires are in accordance to what the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought. We define this iman here as complete iman. Nobody is free of sin. We all sin. And so it doesn't mean that iman is negated from you. Doesn't mean that if you sin now, you no longer have iman. No, you still have iman. But what is meant by this hadith is kamil al-iman, the complete type of iman. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, in summary, this hadith number 41, none of you truly believes until his desires are in accordance with the Sharia, in accordance with what Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not give us that type of pride and not make that type of pride within us, where some evidence is brought before us and then we turn away, or we come with our own interpretation, or we try to bend and twist. Rather, our attitude should be like the companions. Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we obey. We have heard and we obey. Walhamdulillah. Yeah. And bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, the next hadith number 40. Walhamdulillah. Or rather, subhanallah, hadith number 42. Yes, no doubt. It's called the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi, but in total there are 42 ahadith. So why call it the 40 ahadith? Why not call it the 42 ahadith? Because in reality the Arabs, they round off matters, and 42 is closest to the round number 40, and thus it's called the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, hadith number 42. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قال الله تبارك وتعالى. Anas ibn Malik narrates that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah said. So what type of hadith is this? This is a hadith Qudsi, walhamdulillah. So Imam al-Nawawi ends his collection with the hadith Qudsi. He began his collection with the hadith innamal a'malu bin niyat. And how does he end the collection? With a hadith Qudsi, and more especially a hadith dealing with rahmah, hadith dealing with tawbah, hadith dealing with maghfirah, a hadith which removes despair from us, as we will see. قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا ابن آدم إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي. Allah the Blessed, the Most High, He says, O the son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and you put your hope in me, as long as you make dua to me, as long as you put your hope in me, I have forgiven you for what you have done and I do not mind. Ya Bna Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك ولا أبالي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, O the son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky, and then you would seek my forgiveness, I would forgive you. O the son of Adam, if your sins reach the clouds, and then you seek forgiveness from me, I would forgive you. Ya ibn Adam, innaka law ataytani biqurabi al-ardi khataya, thumma laqitani la tushrik bi shay'a, la tushriku bi shay'a, la ataytuka biqurabiha maghfira. O the son of Adam, if you were to come to me with sins, if you would come to me with sins that are close to filling the earth, and you would then meet me without making any shirk with me, I would certainly also bring to you forgiveness close to the amount of the earth. Subhanallah. Reported by Imam At-Tirmidhi, and he said it is a hadith which is Hasanun Sahih. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, Imam An-Nawawi brings this hadith as the last hadith in this collection. Ya Bna Adam, Allah is speaking, Allah is addressing the children of Adam, all of us directly. إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي. For as long as we make dua to Allah, as long as we hope in Allah, Allah will forgive us. لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء. If our sins reach to the level of the clouds, ثم استغفرتني. And then we seek forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We turn to Allah in tawbah, He will forgive us. يا ابن آدم إنك لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا. If we come to Allah with the earth, the amount of the earth full of sins. ثم لقيتني, and then we meet Allah. لا تشرك بي شيئا, and we have not committed any shirk with Allah. We've met up with Allah with tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come with the similar amount of forgiveness for us. Subhanallah. What a beautiful hadith, and what an important hadith, and how apt to conclude the book with this hadith. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Number one, the takhrij of this hadith. This hadith has been reported with this wording in the Sunan of Imam At-Tirmidhi. There are a lot of supporting evidences and other reports of this hadith, and thus this hadith is Hasan, or as some of the ulama went further and they said that it is Sahih, as Imam As-Suyuti, Sheikh Al-Albani and others have stated. Number two, the narrator of this hadith, Anas ibn Malik, and we discussed his biography when we discussed hadith number 13, and thus there's no need to repeat that. Number three, the general comments related to this hadith. According to Mistu and Bugha, these two great scholars who had written one of the explanations on the 40 ahadith, they state that this hadith gives the most amount of hope to humans from all the ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith here gives the most amount of hope to the children of Adam. Subhanallah. As for explanation of this hadith, Allah said, and so this is a hadith Qudsi, Ya Bna Adam, this is a call to all humans, every one of the children of Adam, not only to the Muslims, or Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, or Ya Ahl al-Kitab. No, this is a call to all of the children of Adam. And why mention Adam alayhi salam? Why specifically, why address maybe, you know, us as the children of Adam? As some have said, because just as how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave our father, just like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and will forgive us. Others said because Adam is the father of mankind, and thus everyone's included within that, the Jew, the Christian, the Muslim, the atheist, etc., all included within that. إِنَّكَ مَا دَعُوتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي. For as long as you call upon me, for as long as you make dua to me, this dua, subhanallah, we know that ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Dua is worship. It shows It shows your need, shows your neediness. It shows your submission and your servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you lift up your hands and you pour out your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, grant me good health. Oh Allah, grant me good eyesight. Oh Allah, grant me a good job. You are needy before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, my sins have shackled me down. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Oh Allah, make my Hajj journey easy for me. Oh Allah, grant me a pay increase. Whatever it might be. You are showing your neediness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for, subhanAllah, the importance of dua, Allah said in the Noble Qur'an, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And our Lord, He says, call upon me and I will respond to you. Indeed, those who disdain my worship will enter the hellfire, contemptible. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as we mentioned, Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Dua is worship, subhanAllah. And subhanAllah, there's absolutely no need for a wasita between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You lift up your hands and you make dua directly to Allah. There's no need to go to somebody. There's no need to put somebody between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah states in the Noble Quran, the manner that we should ask from Him. وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And invoke Allah in fear and hope. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is near to the doers of good. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is close to the ones who do good, subhanAllah. As for the adab and the etiquettes of dua, then there are many and numerous, mashaAllah. We know that before we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the dua, send salawat upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then best to make dua using the words taught to us by the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Quranic du'as, ad'iyah, to ask for whatever you require, whatever is permissible. One should not hasten and rush in the matter. We also know that there are certain times when dua is highly accepted, like when you are in sujood, or for example, the last third of the night, or for example, on the day of Friday, according to majority of the ulama, between Salatul Asr and Maghrib, and more close towards sunset. These are important times for dua, and times wherein dua is highly accepted, walhamdulillah. Similarly, when you're a traveler, similarly in the month of Ramadan, similarly when you are sick, the dua of the parents for the children, etc., etc., between the adhan and the iqama, walhamdulillah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, and you put your hope in me, وَرَجَوْتَنِي, and you have this hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, we require having this hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجِرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرُجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who have believed and those who have immigrated and fought in the path of Allah, they expect, they hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should obviously maintain that balance between hope and fear. Those who have too much of hope and too much of, in the love, then that's one extreme. And others who have too much of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another extreme. You need to have both. It's like the two wings of a bird, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has stated. Imam al-Nawawi, he states, when you are young, you give preference to having more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have your health, etc., etc., when, the sins are very, very tempting, then you give preference to having more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you are in old age, then you give preference to having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was something stated by Imam An-Nawawi in his Riyadh al-Salihin. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then states, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. For as long as you make dua to me and you hope in me, then I will forgive your sins. I will forgive your sins and I do not mind. As that poet, he says, يَا رَبِّي إِنْ عَظُمَتْ ذُنُوبِي كَثْرَةً فَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ عَفْوُكَ أَعْظَمُ. O my Rabb, إن عظمت ذنوبي, for as much as my sins they increase in their size, etc., etc., I certainly know that your forgiveness is greater. إن كان لا يرجوك إلا محسن فمن الذي يرجو ويدعو فمن الذي يرجو ويدعو المجرم. I certainly know that your forgiveness is greater. If only the doers of good can put their hope in you, to whom else could the sinner supplicate and put his hope in? Where does he go then? مالي إليك وسيلة إلا الرجاء وجميل عفوك ثم أني مسلم. I have no means of approach to you except hope and your beautiful forgiveness and then the fact that I am a Muslim. Subhanallah. Ya Rabbi, in azumat dhunubi kathratan falakad alimtu anna afuka a'zamu. إن كان لا يرجوك إلا محسن فمن الذي يرجو ويدعو المجرم. ما لي إليك وسيلة إلا الرجاء وجميل عفوك ثم أني مسلم. سبحان الله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelope us in His mercy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك ولا أبالي. Even if your sins were to reach the clouds, then you sought forgiveness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would forgive you. Then what does this do, brothers and sisters? This removes, you know, the sense of, where the person is completely in a state of despair. What am I to do? I'm drowning in sin, etc. No, subhanAllah. Have husnul dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have this husnul dhan. Have this hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this. Even if your sins reach the clouds, then you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Allah will forgive you. That famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A slave committed a sin and then he said, Oh Allah, I have committed a sin, so forgive me. And then Allah says, my slave knows that he has a Rabb who forgives sins. And therefore I have forgiven my slave. And then the slave commits another sin and then he says, Oh Allah, I have committed another sin, so forgive me. And then Allah responds, my slave knows that he has a Lord who forgives sins. Therefore I have forgiven him. And then the person commits that sin again and then he says the same. Or the fourth time, he does the same, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, he may do whatever he wishes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him when he turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, no matter how much, no matter how many sins you might have committed, no matter how great the sin might have been, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make istighfar and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find then the hadith continues. يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرًا. And then if you seek my forgiveness, I will forgive you. If you come with the earth amount of sin, I will come and you sought forgiveness from me. I will meet you with an amount equal to the earth of forgiveness, subhanallah. This word ghafara means to, or istighfar from the root ghafara. Ghafara means to cover. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers up our sins. Obviously, with regards to tawbah, istighfar, etc., there are certain conditions. There are definitely certain conditions number one, that it must be sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, you must have this remorse. You must have this remorse that you're not going to do this again. And you must stop performing this sin. And you must have the clear intention that you are not going to go back to it. As for the one who makes tawbah and he knows, you know, I'm going to go back and definitely I'm going to do the same thing, then that's just play. Allahu musta'an. Number four, the person must have be of the firm intention not to commit the sin in the future, must give it up immediately. The act of repentance must be done before it's too late, before the angel of death approaches, before the sun rises from the opposite direction. You need to make this tawbah as soon as possible. Then if, for example, it's something to do with the rights of others, then depending on the situation, maybe you have the wealth of others, you need to give that back to the rightful owner. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And if you come to Allah with the amount of the earth in sin, Allah will come to you with the equal amount in forgiveness. If you come and you meet Allah with Tawheed and you've not committed any shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives not the setting up of partners with Him, but He forgives all other matters. All other sins will be forgiven except the matter of shirk. Allah musta'an. And so, brothers and sisters, we should have husnul dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have tawakkul. We should have this raja. We should have this hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that in summary with regards to this hadith, we learn that the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah, is greater than the sins of myself and the sins of yourself. The sins of the believers are nothing in comparison to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, we take away from this hadith that we should never ever, ever despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, for example, he mentions that seeking forgiveness, you have different types. One is where the person asks Allah to forgive and remove any negative effects of the sin. This is seeking forgiveness of the sinners. So he's committed some sin. Oh Allah, remove the effects of the sin, remove the sin. Others seek forgiveness due to some shortcoming in their manner of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the type of istighfar done by the righteous and the pious. The anbiya and the salihin, etc. You know, oh Allah, forgive us for our shortcoming. You know, maybe we didn't thank you enough. This is not for the sin that they had committed, but rather for them feeling that they have come short in thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, there's also those who seek forgiveness as a means of giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the type of seeking of forgiveness that was performed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one can find more details with regards to tawbah and istighfar. We find that tawbah and istighfar usually, you know, they are used together, or rather, you know, when one mentions tawbah, then it includes istighfar, and when one mentions istighfar, it includes tawbah. And so each one, you know, works with the other and includes the other. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Yes, if they both used together in one sentence, then each one has a specific meaning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. At the end of this hadith, hadith number 42, which is, as was mentioned, the last hadith in this collection. The last hadith in this collection. Myself and yourself, we should ponder after going through these 42 ahadith. Are our intentions behind whatever we do pure and solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I really performing the pillars of Islam seriously and correctly? Is my foundation of my religion solid? Am I meeting the obligations of Iman such that I deserve to be called a believer and I deserve to be entered into paradise? Have I been able to go beyond the mere minimum with regards to ibadah? Have I reached the level of ihsan? Have I reached the level of ihsan? You know, we mentioned Islam and then Iman and then ihsan, subhanAllah. Am I avoiding heresies, the bid'ahs, etc., innovations? Am I sticking to that which is authentic upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Am I avoiding doubtful matters? Halal is clear, haram is clear. And between them are doubtful matters. Am I avoiding those doubtful matters? Where am I with regards to all of that? Giving sincere advice, where am I with regards to that? Allahumma musta'an. Do I truly love for my brother what I love for myself? When I speak, do I speak only that which is good and beneficial? Am I using my tongue to join and unite? Or am I using my tongue to divide and destroy? Allahumma musta'an. Do I try to remove evil deeds by performing better deeds after them? We all sin. Whenever I sin, do I try to do some sort of good deed? Do I try to spread some sort of good? Where am I with regards to prevention of zulm and oppression? Am I a zalim of myself? With regards to others, am I a zalim over others? Allahumma musta'an. Do I control my tongue? Do I control my anger? Do I truly respect and deal with my brothers and sisters in the Islamic manner and fashion? Do we really have this ukhuwa and this brotherhood between us? Allahumma musta'an. Am I in this world like a stranger? Or have I become too engrossed in this world and I cannot think about leaving it? Have I realized that one day I am going to part from this world? I am going to enter into a grave. Allahumma sta'an. The angel of death is going to seize my soul. Have I pondered over that? Where am I with regards to my hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My actions, are they in accordance with the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which was brought by our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? These are questions that I, Bilal Ismail, need to ask myself. These are questions that you, the listener, you need to ask yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. We also give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who granted us the ability, who granted us the time, the tawfiq, to put together this explanation. For info's sake, we had used certain sources. For example, audio sources for this explanation include the explanation of the 40 ahadith by Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Khudair, the audio explanation of Sheikh Ibrahim Al-Ruhayli, the audio explanation of Salih Al-Sheikh. As for the written explanations, then the super important commentary on the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi by Sheikh Jamaluddin Zarabozo. This is probably the best explanation written on the 40 ahadith, the most detailed, alhamdulillah. Then there's also Jami' Ulum wal Hikam by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. There's the 40 ahadith explanation by Sheikh Uthaymeen, the explanation by Nazim Sultan, the explanation Al-Jami' by Muhammad Yusri Ibrahim, which is also extremely detailed, alhamdulillah. In closing, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to record our sitting, our learning, our studying, our speaking in our scales of good deeds. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us knowledge which is beneficial. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the company of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His infinite mercy upon Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.